Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. We have a lot more to talk about today and some breaking news as the testament of Hillary Clinton has finally ended, and we'll bring you some clips, some statements made by the politicians and herself here in just a second. But I want to go to this video. I thought this was fantastic. This one was cracking me up. I don't know who she is. I wish I could give her credit. But she posted this basically by saying, our country is upside down. And, well, she makes some damn good points. Let's listen.
Since I got on social media in 2023, I have been saying the same thing. I have been saying the downfall of this country is too many women in charge. Too many women in charge. We have allowed a bunch of these feminist dykes to take over, and they are destroying this country. They are destroying this country, and they're destroying it because they have gotten a lot of weak, spineless, ballless men to stand up behind them and support this bull crap. See, let me tell y'all something. See, feminism was never supposed to be to try to take over, to try to get rid of men. Feminism was women saying, hey, we want the same rights that men have. We want to be able to work these jobs and get paid just like men. We want to be able to walk through the front door and get a handshake and get the same respect that men get in these corporations. But somewhere along the line, they have allowed these feminist dykes to take over the feminist movement, and this is where we are now. This country is upside down. We're upside down because too many weak men has allowed this to happen. Y'all can get mad at me all y'all want. Y'all can say what y'all want. I don't care. I stand on what I say. Y'all have allowed these feminist dykes to come in and take over. We got too many women in government now that's screwing up everything. They're screwing up everything, and they're able to screw up everything because they got a bunch of these baldy, spineless men who are willing to stand up behind them. See, these men are too afraid to be called a man. So instead of being called a man, they just want to step back and let these women just take over and ruin everything. See, that's why so many people now, so many trans women are able to get in women's sports, are able to go into women's safe spaces, are able to take over jobs that women would usually have because y'all got these old feminists, these old butch feminists that has taken over. They've taken over. See, let me tell y'all, so I'm going to just keep it 100, y'all. See, these so-called feminists, these new age feminists, see, they mad with the world. They mad with the world because they know deep down inside, don't no real man want them. They look like a bunch of circus clowns, some deranged circus clowns with all these tattoos and piercings and this pink, green, and blue hair. So they mad with the world. They're angry. They're angry with the world because they know deep down inside that, listen, it's nobody want them. So they mad with the world. So they want to just mess up everything, throw a monkey wrench in everything because they're angry. They're angry with the world. So they decided to take their anger out when they got into these positions. They got in these positions. They just decided to take their anger out on these men that don't want them. You know, the real men, the men who was actually keeping the country in line. But I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't just blame these doggone feminist dykes. I don't just blame them a lot. I blame these weak, spineless men who walking around here tucking their balls, putting on these pink panties and standing back. Because see, when these women start telling these men, y'all need to stay at home and be house husbands. Y'all need to let me be the head of the house. Y'all need to stay at home and be house husbands. And they fell in line with this. That was the beginning of the end because they showed you how weak a lot of these new men are. See, the men of the silent generation, the men of the generations before us that raised us, the Gen Zs, and, I mean, the Gen Xs and stuff, see, a lot of them are no longer here. So now we got a bunch of weak men who's willing to step back and allow these women to take over. And that's why this country is upside down. That's why this country is hanging on by a thread and we get ready to just fall off the cliff. We get ready to follow because y'all get mad at me all y'all want. Y'all know it's the truth. So let me tell y'all something. These men decided to stop being men and start to pick up purses. That's why when I go in the stores now, I can't find no purse because I'll go to doggone feminist men got it. And let me tell y'all something. All of y'all in the back who can't hear, I need y'all to come forward. There's no such thing as a feminist man. Men are not feminists. They can't get in touch with their feminist side because that's not how God made them. God made them to be men. God made us a difference for a reason. God made them to be strong enough to do the heavy lifting. God gave us the ability to do the emotional lifting. And that's the problem. Too many emotional women are in Congress. These old dyked out feminists are in country, turning everything upside down. And I blame the men. I blame the men because y'all allowed this. Y'all allowed this because y'all don't want to be called toxic. Y'all don't want to be called y'all hate women. Y'all don't want to go against women. Instead of standing up, telling them women to get their ass somewhere and sit down. And now this country is hanging on by a thread.
Preach.
And it is what it is.
Can I vote for her? Where's she running for office? Can she be the president? That's the type of energy we need. I mean, I love women like her.
have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday evening, 26th of February, 2026. Hillary Clinton just finished testifying in her deposition to the House committee about Epstein. And we have some statements from both her and James Comer, the chair of the committee. Let's go now to James Comer, see what he had to say following the deposition of Hillary Clinton.
Our deposition is concluded. It's a shame that it took 7 months to get Ms. Clinton in. She answered most of our questions. I'm going to let some of my colleagues lament on that, but we're going to not release the too many details of what happened today. We're going to try to get the video out as quickly as possible, hopefully within the next 24 hours. That's a very long deposition, so as quick as we can get that video produced, we will get that out. The transcript will be released as soon as her attorneys approve it. That's the standard rules of a deposition. And I think that I think this was a productive deposition today. I think we learned a lot. There were a lot of questions that we asked that we, you know, weren't satisfied with the answers that we got. But we will continue to move forward. Any of my colleagues, every member of the committee asked questions. And
I would just say one of the things I learned today is if you really have specific questions about the Clinton Global Initiative or the relationship between the Clintons and Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, you got to ask Bill Clinton.
That's a great point. The number of times that she said, I don't know, you'll have to ask my husband, was you know, more than a dozen, and I'll put it like that.
If I can, go ahead, yeah, if I can just hop in. Also, too, I think it's important to note that we have been working in a bipartisan fashion to make this as painless as possible for the people that we're bringing in, but also to ensuring that there's accountability and transparency. You will hear a lot of spin sometimes out of politicos in Washington, but the fact is that it's our goal and objective following this, and we also, too, did ask for follow-up from the Secretary on producing legislation that will help prevent this from ever happening again in the future, obviously working to combat trafficking, which has been a cause incredibly important, not just to myself, to Chairman Comer, to Representative Nancy Mace, but many members of this Oversight Committee. And so we are looking forward to continuing to provide that transparency. And Nancy, do you have anything?
First of all, I want to thank Secretary Clinton for being here for as many hours as she was here today. She took every question from every single member. I want to thank my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats alike, for being here today and asking questions. I very much look forward to speaking to her husband, former President Bill Clinton, tomorrow. We have a lot of work to do. Not surprised by some of the answers, surprised by some, and you'll get the transcript very soon, but I want to thank everyone who participated. This is nowhere near from over, and in making my notes today, I've got names of individuals that I believe we need to haul to the Oversight Committee and ask them questions, ask them their perspective, ask them about other potential witnesses or victims or potential predators. I think this is going to go on for a long time. There are millions of files. There are a lot of people involved. And some of the gaps that have been seen, especially early on, you know, are very evident after speaking with her today. And I just want to thank everyone for their time. And we have a lot of work to do, and I'm willing to work with anyone who's willing to work with me. I'll work with you on getting to the bottom of this, making sure that this just doesn't ever happen again. And when it does, those predators are held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. Thank you.
All right, so this is James Comer, Anna Paulina
so
Luna. That was Nancy Mace.
This is an issue. If you've read the Epstein files, there's unspeakable evil in there. And the American people and the victims deserve transparency and accountability. The biggest thing I think we need to know is how do we strengthen laws to prevent human trafficking in America, if not the world? And how does someone with such evil infiltrate the highest levels of the U.S. government and world leaders? So we're going to continue to ask those questions.
That's a bit silly, if you ask me. You need to enforce the laws that already exist. The problem isn't that there aren't the right laws. The problem is that some people are above the law and don't ever get held to account. All right, they're taking questions now.
Why won't you?
Well, President Trump has answered hundreds, if not thousands, of questions from you all about Epstein, and I think he's been very transparent in releasing the documents. We expect hopefully more documents to come in. We're still assessing the 3 million-plus documents that we have. We obviously will be moving on to the next phase and bringing more people in for questions. So, again, remember, this was a bipartisan subpoena by members of both parties to bring in Ms. Clinton. And it's just a shame that it took 7 months. And I know every member of our committee has a big list of names they want to bring in. These are big, powerful people that hire very skilled law firms, and they delay. And you know, part of when you delay in this investigation, it takes 7 months to bring a witness in like it did today. That creates a problem. So we're trying to move as quickly as we can. We're obviously following what's going on in the United Kingdom now. We're following, everything. I know that there are a lot of eyes, and hopefully the media will play a role in this. The media has a role. The documents have been made public. We're going to continue to fight for more redactions. There are some names who are redacted. I think we all agree shouldn't be redacted. I don't think they're who you think they are. So that's why we want those names.
Chairman, if I could just add in real quick, to follow up on that, though, we asked specifically the victims, and we are all there, as well as the Speaker and the Democrat members of Congress, if the president was involved, and they exonerated him. So why would we bring in the president of the United States, who's been exonerated, who cooperated with law enforcement, and who released the files, when we had to fight? We basically threatened to hold the Clintons in contempt if they didn't want to come in. So to be clear, we had cooperation. We asked the victims directly, and he was exonerated. So I would encourage all of you to at least do the fair reporting and understanding that just like you would not publish false statements about the Clintons and some of the allegations that have been made about them, you would give the President of the United States the same respect.
And he also went to law enforcement. Hey,
Mr. Chairman, President Trump has released more files than anyone during the Biden administration. Zero files, no DOJ involvement. He has secured the border, lowered human trafficking, and passed the House Republicans, and President Trump has passed anti-human trafficking legislation just his first year.
Yeah. Mr. Comer,
transparency, as you guys said moments ago, can you release any findings that were discussed today? You said some.
We're going to release that video, and you'll be able to see the whole thing as quick as we can get the video produced. But I think what will be interesting is some of the comments that Secretary Clinton made at the very end about Jeffrey Epstein. And I think that would apply to others that you all obviously have an interest in, too. So.
Mr. Comer, you said that Bill Clinton is the man to ask questions on.
That's what Mrs. Clinton said many times today.
Why bring Hillary Clinton along?
Again, for the 15th time, this was a motion made by Democrats and Republicans in a subcommittee on oversight. There were a list of people to bring in, and Bill and Hillary Clinton were on the list. I'm glad we brought Hillary Clinton in because she's never really answered questions until in the last week about her relationship with Epstein and Maxwell. So she answered questions, and hopefully they'll be helpful as we move forward.
Chairman Comer, are you now satisfied on the Clinton Global Initiative?
Was that your main focus today with Secretary Clinton, and do you feel like you got the answers you were looking for?
Well, I don't want to disclose too much of what was said, but most of the questions that we asked about the Clinton Global Initiative, which were very specific questions, some of them were backed by emails and other documents that have been released by the Department of Justice. She said that she was a senator, and you would have to ask her husband that tomorrow. So we have a lot of questions for her husband tomorrow, and I'm confident that deposition will last even longer than this one.
Chairman,
thank
Kimmer,
you all.
Are you
thank you all.
All right, so there you go. Got a pretty good rundown of everything that's happened. Apparently, we'll have the video of that, I guess, by tomorrow, he said. But they'll have the transcript out. Wonder if there will be many, if any, redactions. I do think this probably would have been more valuable to have happened live. Now, we'll go to Hillary Clinton, who's made some statements. Her statements are getting a lot more attention. She apparently talks about a number of things. So we'll listen to her and what she has to say. Apparently tomorrow, Bill Clinton will be deposed. And it's a little bit silly for her to say, you'll have to ask my husband. She really was the brains behind the operation, especially for the last decade that the Clinton machine really ran. It was all Hillary. I mean, once Bill was done being president, he wasn't so much the focus of attention as much as Hillary Clinton, senator, and then secretary of state, and then running for president. I mean, she was the kingpin. So I wonder if Bill's not going to go in and go, oh, you're going to have to ask my wife about that. We're just not going to get an answer. I don't know. But apparently she answered all the questions from, you know, both sides of the aisle. And here's what she had to say after the questioning during her press conference.
Well, I have just finished testifying. I answered every one of their questions as fully as I could. Based on what I knew, and what I knew is what I said in my statement this morning. I never met Jeffrey Epstein, never had any connection or communication with him. I knew Ghislaine Maxwell casually as an acquaintance, but whatever they asked me, I did my very best to respond. It was disappointing that they refused to hold a public hearing so I wouldn't have to be out here characterizing it for you. You could have seen it for yourself. We had asked for that. We think it would have been better for the committee and its efforts to gather whatever information they are seeking. We had a bit of a challenge in the beginning because we had agreed upon rules based on the fact it was going to be a closed hearing at their demand, and one of the members violated that rule, which was very upsetting because it suggested that they might violate other of our agreements. So we had to cease the hearing for a period of time until we could get assurances that no rules would be broken going forward, and we returned to answer questions repetitively, literally over and over again. I don't know how many times I had to say I did not know Jeffrey Epstein. I never went to his island. I never went to his homes. I never went to his offices. So it's on the record numerous times. It then got, at the end, quite unusual because I started being asked about UFOs and a series of questions about Pizzagate, one of the most vile, bogus conspiracy theories that was propagated on the internet that was serving as the basis of a member's questions to me. So I can only say that the best exchange that I had came at the very end when, contrary to every other deposition they have taken, no Republican member asked any questions about Jeffrey Epstein or Ghislaine Maxwell to anyone else they have deposed. And in fact, the Republican members didn't even show up for the deposition of Les Wexner. And when I said that, I had to point out that the only questions that any Republican member asked of any of the people they deposed was of former Attorney General Bill Barr, when Chairman Comer asked him about the allegations, in his view, about Russia's involvement in my election in 2016. So at the very end of this hearing, after I made that point, I want to commend Chairman Comer for raising a series of significant questions that I responded to about the nature of the investigation and the areas that I thought should be explored. So I appreciated that. I want to see the truth come out. So that was a reassuring way to end a very long, repetitive deposition.
Madam Secretary, you spoke in your opening remarks about how heartbroken you have been for the Epstein survivors as these files have come out. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you have processed and reacted to the fact that the former president, your husband, Bill Clinton, is referenced in the Epstein files numerous times, including in some photos featuring women? And how have you been personally preparing for the deposition that is coming tomorrow? And are you 100% confident that there isn't anything that the former president knows about Epstein's crimes?
I am, and I think the chronology of the connection that he had with Epstein ended several years before anything about Epstein's criminal activities came to light, and that he was charged and sadly given a sweetheart deal, which, as I said in my statement, had that not happened, perhaps his predatory behavior could have been stopped earlier. But I think it is fair to say that the vast majority of people who had contact with him before his criminal pleas in 08 were like most people. They did not know what he was doing. And I think that that is exactly what my husband will testify to tomorrow.
She is such a liar. Pause it right there. We'll go back to her in just a second. First of all, can we appreciate that she's not and never will be president? Can we just marinate on the fact that this is like the only time we're going to have to watch her speak in like a decade? That's nice. We can just appreciate the fact that the path that the world took means that this woman it's probably going to be more associated with Epstein than anything else at the end of the day. Certainly not the first woman president of the United States, a position she did a lot of bad things to achieve and never got there. So let's appreciate that first and foremost. That fact we're even talking about Hillary right now is sort of a one-off, and we're not going to have to do it much longer. So that's a wonderful thing. That's wonderful news about reality as it exists now. But she's lying. But she's obviously lying about her husband's participation with Epstein. Remember, it was an Epstein victim who said she was introduced to Epstein by Bill Clinton when Bill Clinton called him the King of America. Jeffrey Epstein also visited the Bill Clinton White House multiple times as an official of some sort, as an advisor in some capacity. Not only that, he, of course, is on the plain manifest quite a bit. He is pointed out by the victims of Epstein, not just the one that said that Bill Clinton introduced him as King of America, but there were multiple victims that when asked who else should we question about this, their first answer was Bill Clinton. Not was Bill Clinton in on this and they said yes. The open-ended question, who else should we ask? Bill Clinton was the name that came to their mind. So he was more involved than Hillary Clinton is obviously letting on. She seems to be surprised or shocked that they would bring up Pizzagate, but of course Pizzagate had a lot of, you know, similar characteristics as the Epstein files do, the strange code words around food, specifically pizza, and it was Hillary Clinton, the DNC, and her campaign manager, John Podesta, where those emails existed, including emails from Hillary Clinton herself to Linda Rothschild, saying, I owe you penance, and I'll be sacrificing a chicken to Moloch in the backyard. So, again, for her to say this crazy conspiracy theory that spread over the internet, it's like the one that was confirmed in basically everything by the Epstein files. Like, yeah, Yeah, the Pizzagate conspiracy that was actually just the verbatim transcripts of your emails with very suspicious and, as of now, still unexplained code words. And not even code words, but like discussions about dropping children off in hot tubs where they've been well-trained for entertainment. And then that got manipulated by the media to be, they think there's a sex ring out of a pizza parlor. That was never the case. That was the cover story. That was ridiculous on purpose, that they made ridiculous on purpose in order to disguise the reality of what's going on. So very funny that she would bring that up as if that was discrediting, when in fact it's the opposite. That has all been basically confirmed, and all the speculation confirmed as well. And she says they asked about UFOs. I don't really get that particularly. I wonder if they asked Hillary Clinton about her casual acquaintance that she didn't really know, Ghislaine Maxwell, being front and center at her daughter's wedding. Remember, Chelsea Clinton's wedding has pictures of her walking down the aisle with Ghislaine Maxwell right there within arm's reach. Maybe they were a little closer than she's letting on. So I think she's absolutely full of it. But good on the reporters for actually asking good questions. It's like, what about all those pictures of your husband with little girls? And are you so sure that he's going to be so squeaky clean at the end of this? But obviously, Bill and Hillary Clinton's involvement in the CIA and drug trafficking goes back to his time in Arkansas. And this whole corrupt cabal that has been exposed by the Epstein files is a cabal in which they occupy very high positions. So they're not going into this deposition unprepared or, you know, worried about the outcome. They're protected, and that protection's been all but guaranteed. To be honest with you, I think that they have a point. She has a point. And a lot of people have a point about the fact that the Republicans refused to go question Howard Lutnick. Not a single Republican went to question him, but they were all there for the Hillary Clinton questioning, which to me just brings into question the legitimacy of their motivation and whether they do see this as a real concern or whether it's all political for them. Let's go back to Hillary Clinton here.
Do you believe this was a fair hearing, and do you still want to testify publicly even though you gave this deposition?
Oh, I'm not going to do it again. They had a chance to do it in public, and I wish they had done it in public. And I think they're making the wrong decision, avoiding doing it in public. I thought it was very repetitive. I thought that they asked literally the same questions over and over again, which didn't seem to me to be very productive. And then, as I said, toward the end, there were other questions that were totally off subject. So if they are going to fulfill their responsibilities to literally investigate the investigations, which is what they originally said was the scope of their work, I think they could have spent the day more productively.
Madam Secretary, what was your reaction to President Trump's hearing? Madam Secretary. Can I ask, why was Colleen Maxwell invited to the Chelsea Clinton's wedding?
They did ask.
She'd already been mentioned in civil...
All right, we'll pause it right there. They just asked her about Ghislaine Maxwell attending her daughter's wedding. We'll see what she answers on the other side. Stay with us.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll be right back.
got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. To everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones's methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on it.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexshowstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to finish off with this Hillary Clinton press conference following her deposition, and we don't know if the Congress people asked her, but at least the reporters asked her, if you didn't know Ghislaine Maxwell, why was she at your daughter's wedding? That's a little odd. So let's see what her response to this is.
She came as the plus one, the guest of someone who was invited.
No answer. So there you go.
I don't know when the video will be out. I don't know when the transcript will be out. We've asked that they be out as quickly as possible, and then you can see.
You can see everything. Madam Secretary, what was your reaction to photos in the hot tub? We heard from Bill Gates' concerns.
Photos in the hot tub. What about that? Man, not the way she thought she would be talking to the press these days. I'm just marinating on that. I'm just enjoying that. I'm just imagining, like, what did Hillary Clinton think her life would be like by now? She would have thought she'd have at least two terms as president. That would have ended last year. She'd be on a book tour right now, plotting her presidential library. Nope. Actually, we defeated her. We defeated the machine. We defeated the Bushes and the Clintons and the CIA and their corrupt dogs in the FBI. We got Trump elected against all odds. and change the course of history. So I'm just enjoying that for a moment, just thinking about the other timeline, the timeline that we could have been in. Yes, the Madam President timeline. I'm just enjoying that we are not there, that we're not there, and that we never will be, and that instead of addressing us as a former president and best-selling author Hillary Clinton, it's accused pedophile associate questioned by Congress over her association to various sex criminals. Yeah, Epstein isn't the only one in their circle. So I know Alex was going off on this on his show for a little while, and people do get confused. We are fighting a war. We're fighting an information war. And so we have won major victories. We have won major battles. Does that mean the war is over? No. Does that mean that we're even winning the war? It's kind of debatable. But over the last 10 years, there has been a steady momentum on our side. And the victories that we have achieved seemed impossible 10 years ago. But we've achieved them, and we continue to achieve them. It doesn't mean everything's perfect. It doesn't mean we've won. It doesn't mean the war is over. But in war, you got to keep your morale up, and you got to remind yourself, even though there is a lot of fighting still to go, we have won a lot. We have gained a lot of land. We have metaphorically slaughtered whole swaths of their armies and left the battlefield stinking with their corpses, metaphorically, but satisfactorily, but in a satisfying way. And we'll continue to, and we'll continue to push. And if there's one thing about this Epstein release I think is pretty undeniable, is that the people in power do not have the initiative. They're on the back foot. They are scrambling to figure out how to deal with this. This isn't orchestrated by the Clintons and Bill Gates. This is orchestrated by us, and they're having to dance to our tune now. And that in and of itself is a victory for the ages. And I hope that you can support InfoWars, as we've had an outsized influence on this trajectory. And I've played the videos before, but I mean, they've had, during the Connecticut trial, they had experts testify not only to the tens of thousands of individuals all over the country who are paid and whose full-time job, you know, in grad school or whatever, is to study us, is to study InfoWars, not for the purpose of scientific inquiry, but as you study the enemy, as one army might study the actions of an enemy army in order to defeat us, in order to identify what makes us successful so that they can hamper us in the most efficient way. And they still haven't succeeded. So not only do you have whole literal armies of people arrayed against us, trying desperately to stop us when really they can't, they never will. And the simple matter is, we have the truth on our side, and that is, in a battle of information, a super weapon. But not only that, testifying to the fact that when it came to the 2016 election and even before, but certainly getting Trump elected, Alex Jones and InfoWars had a impact on the election that was bigger than the next top three right-wing pundits combined. Literally, like Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck combined, didn't even come close to the amount of impact that we've had. And that's science, folks. They studied this. They can provide you the charts, the influence network mapping, paradigm. This is what people have put God only knows how many man hours into figuring out, and they figured out that InfoWars is the strongest, the best, the most powerful. And despite using and weaponizing that knowledge to try to kick us off every platform and sue us into oblivion, we're still here. We're still here, and Bill and Hillary Clinton are being hauled in to Congress to be questioned about their activity with the cabal of international pedophiles. We're doing great. This is actually fantastic. Our victories really are unparalleled, and undeniable. So I hope you can support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. I told you a little bit about the Power Drive combo, which has Power Plant and Methyl Drive. Power Plant is, of course, the advanced adaptogen complex, kind of like a new super male vitality. It's got cordyceps, golden root, zinc, and boron. And golden root, I didn't realize, is an ancient supplement that Vikings used to use. Viking and Norse warriors carried this powerhouse adaptogen on long campaigns as armor against the cold. Golden root gives your body helps your body keep cortisol in check under pressure. It means calm focus, steady drive, and a performance edge you can actually feel. Not a stimulant, something better, more long-lasting, and effective. Methylene Blue boosts your mitochondria, the cellular energy machine. Power Plant, however, boosts oxygen efficiency, cortisol control, and free testosterone. It's a different angle, but the same goal. If you combine them, stack them together, you've covered both ends of the performance equation. That's Power Plant, of course, combining with Methyl Drive, which is a mitochondrial support blend built to stack with both Methylene Blue and Power Plant. Methyl Drive's got CoQ10 and PQQ, so it's similar to the DNA Force product that we used to have on InfoWarsStore.com. You can get the Power Drive bundle, which is Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and Methylene Blue right now. Combine them all and really experience the power. Right now, you can get BOGO Sups, that is buy one, get one free. If you buy the creatine, you get a free CMOS gummy or Shilajit gummies, absolutely free. And those are some of my favorite products. The Shilajit gummies and the CMOS gummies are absolutely fantastic. I keep them around for a little pick-me-up if I need one. Plus, you're getting 25% off all apparel. And like I said, everything you buy at thealexjonesstore.com goes directly to funding this mission, this outlet, and our continuing conquering drive over the New World Order. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now I want to talk about crime. I want to talk about crime because people don't even know what it is anymore, and they don't know how to deal with it, and this is a problem. This is a big, big, glaring, gigantic, unavoidable problem. I'm not going to play this whole thing, but I do want to go to a little bit of this conversation between a young woman and a person questioning her about crime, about what to do about murderers. And I'm not saying that this ill-informed libtard is the be-all and all of leftist ideology, but I think what she expresses represents the real shallowness of the left's beliefs and their incompatibility with reality, their ahistoricity. I mean, it really is a masterclass in how you have somebody who knows nothing, can't explain her views, can't justify her views, and yet feels as though she's the enlightened and informed one, even though she can't even express what she actually thinks. Let's watch. This is clip 7 here.
Go to jail?
Well, first off, not all murder is created equal.
Could murderers go to jail or no?
If we're talking about somebody actually, like, responsible for an actual murder?
Yeah.
I think we need something better than jail.
Well, like what?
How many murderers have gone to jail and then come back out and murdered somebody else?
I don't know, but, like, what's the alternative?
All right, wait, can we pause it right there? Like, she doesn't even understand that that argument is completely against her beliefs. Because I think they have this idea, I mean, what we kind of do too. The truth is, our criminal justice system is terrible. And prisons don't work. And I'll explain why in a second, because she gets into the history and she doesn't even know it, so I'll explain it to you. But it is a fallacy to think that you can take a criminal, put him into a concrete box, you know, jungle rape carnival for 10 years, and then there's going to be like a good citizen all of a sudden. Like that actually doesn't make sense. But all that means is that, like, if it's a murderer, they should just never get out. And a lot of criminals should just never get out. So she makes this argument of like, well, how many people have been released from jail and gone on to murder again? It's like, okay, so they shouldn't be released from the jail. It's not an argument against jail. That's an argument for extended jail sentences. But again, nothing she says makes sense. So let's keep watching.
You should look to your history books for that.
No, just tell me.
We went through millennia of existence without the modern prison system.
Let's pause it right there. Let's go and pause it right there. Let's go and pause right there. What does she think they did before the modern prison system? She doesn't know. She thinks that there used to be, quote unquote, restorative justice. No, that still doesn't exist. That's not a thing. It never has been a thing. It certainly wasn't a thing before the penitentiary system. What she's describing is the penitentiary system, and it actually came out of like the Amish, or like the Shakers and Quakers. And the root word is penitent. The idea was that you would separate somebody, imprison them, keep them away from the rest of society, obviously, so they couldn't hurt anybody or, you know, spread their evil, but that they would be isolated so that they could be penitent and repent and think about what they did wrong and read the Bible and clean their souls, right? Heal their souls, and then emerge after having been penitent and ask for forgiveness and rejoin society. So, you know, that is fairly new and has a sort of religious start to it, but we've sort of gone off the rails on that. Prior to that, you just killed them. Or you kept them in dungeons indefinitely forever. Like, what does she thinks there used to be restorative justice? Well, I'll let her keep going, but she really does. She thinks that there used to be some sort of like hippy dippy social welfare program for crime. I don't know where she's getting this. No, for a millennia, like one of the main reasons that Europe did so well between 1788 and 1868, Britain used Australia as a massive penal colony. Yeah, you'd send people, just out of the country, right? And that's been a punishment since, you know, ancient Rome. A very common one. Yeah, you just sent people somewhere else. But also, like, have you ever heard of the Bastille Lady? You ever heard of, you know, the dungeon systems in France under the king? Like, she just has no idea what she's talking about, but she's trying to make the case that murderers shouldn't be put into prison because there's got to be some better way. And she's actually saying that history shows us the better way. History shows us that really, if you want your nation to become incredible, you need to spend like 1,000 years systematically murdering the, you know, most criminal 1 or 2% of your population. That's what Europe did. And if you were stealing, you were killed. You were robbing horses, you were killed. If you killed somebody, you were tortured, then killed. Have you ever heard of the wheel? Does she know about breaking on the wheel? Like, what does she... These people, man. Do you want to go through some, like, medieval torture? Like, okay, you'd put them in stocks for a while. That would be one thing you would do. Breaking on the wheel was they'd bring a big wagon wheel, and they would use a stick and the spokes of the wheel. They'd tie you to the wheel, and then they would break every bone in your body so that you could actually physically be tied like a knot onto the wheel, and you would sit there with every bone in your body broken until you expired from hunger. I just want to explain to these people that what we have going now might not be perfect, but what are you talking about the past having restorative justice? In the past, they had, like, it was like down to a science where they were like, we want to cause this person the most amount of pain. So how do we cause them pain without killing them? And they, like, so this dumbass, I don't know what she thinks happened before penitentiaries, but it was worse than penitentiaries. So let's go back to her as she, again, tries to invoke some sort of non-existent history to make a case that is retarded on the face of it. Let's watch.
Existence without the modern prison system.
What do we do, kill them?
No.
Then what do we do with them?
Restorative justice systems like we used to.
Like what? But what's the solution? Like
I'm not giving you an entire criminal justice lesson.
No. Just tell me. Pause right if you don't,
that was the part I mentioned earlier, and that is the most liberal thing you'll hear in this whole thing. That's the most like iconic leftist progressive response to anything. You ask them a very simple question that if they really believe what they believe, they'd be able to answer. And then they act like you can't even understand their belief unless they give you a 10-hour lecture. That you couldn't possibly understand their position on criminal justice without being fully indoctrinated into some sort of weird psychological nonsense that, you know, says that criminality is all the fault of the system. It's like, this is so stupid. It's the same thing with like transgenderism, or you go, men are men, women are women. And they're like, I don't have time to explain to you how wrong that is. And it's just like, anything that takes longer than 5 minutes to explain, it's probably not true. Now, when it's something as simple as this, you require, you know, hours of indoctrination to fully scramble somebody's brain before they're willing to listen to your nonsense, I guess. But that's the biggest cop-out that you'll ever see. Let's go back to the bug-eyed weirdo.
Huh?
You don't send him to jail. Where do you send him?
Where do you send them? Why do we need to specifically send them somewhere?
Well, they shouldn't be on the streets after they've murdered somebody, surely.
Depends.
No, murderers shouldn't be on the street. It doesn't depend at all.
Well, I think it depends.
I don't think it depends at all. If you kill somebody, you should be in jail. It's not self-defense.
I think I might be too radical for you to be talking to.
So you disagree with that premise?
What?
That murderers should not be on the streets?
Murderers are on the streets right now.
But do you think we should make so they're not on the streets?
No. I believe in restorative justice.
Let them walk free.
Punitive justice does not do anything to protect
the
community.
Let them walk free, then.
I don't say that there shouldn't be any consequences, but I don't think that incarceration is the right one.
But let them walk free. Let them walk free.
With restrictions, but yeah. They don't need
murderers,
to be...
walk free.
Huh?
Murderers walk free, yeah.
Like they do now, yeah. Murderers walk free
that
every day. Did you know in the
absolutely
United States
insane.
You have 50% chance...
premise is that murderers should go to jail. They should be removed from the streets. You disagree with that.
My premise is that our current way of handling murderers and our punitive justice system does not work.
Because you think you don't agree with sending them to jail.
Well, okay, do you know what caused the most violent crime?
What has the most violent crime?
What caused the most violent crime?
I don't care. What is it?
Poverty.
That is not true.
It is true. If you go and you look at
okay.
the statistics and the data from
so
the
then why is it? Then why is it that the black community committed less crime under Jim Crow when they were poorer than they do now when they have more money? Why is that the case?
Same reason why illegal immigrants are the lead have the lowest crime rates in the United States.
That's not true. They disproportionately commit crime.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. Look at El Paso. Look at Kinney County, Texas. No, you haven't. In Kinney County, Texas, there are more crimes committed by...
I just want to get to that part where she says that poverty is the cause of violence because it's just so wrong. It's just not even remotely correct. I mean, it's obvious in any number of ways. That guy points out one good example is that crime rates in the black community are higher now than they were when the black community as a whole was significantly poorer, right? But not just that. It would be pretty obvious. If that was it, if it was poverty, then it would be a direct correlation between the poorest counties in America and the most criminal counties in America. That is absolutely not the case. There's a lot of other things that go into it. But that really lies at the heart of like what we just saw. She represents, I think, a very pure, like crystalline representation of the leftist mindset. Because at the end of the day, you know, maybe if she'd given us that lecture on criminal justice, it would have sounded more thought out and you know, fully realized. I don't even think she could give that talk if she wanted to or had time to, but it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, that is the heart of it. It's just like total ignorance, total nonsense, hasn't thought through any position whatsoever. Just like murderers should be free. Really? Well, not really, but they shouldn't have to go to jail. Where should they have to go? I don't know. And it's just like, well, then you just don't know anything. Then just shut up. Why do you think you have an opinion if you don't know anything? Who told you that you could speak on stuff when you don't even understand your own thoughts? Like, this is sad. This is really sad. But it can't be the criminal's fault. And, you know, criminals murdering people over again, that's the fault of the system. But it's not because the system's too harsh. There should be restorative justice, which has never existed, but apparently she thinks it did. And this is just all nonsense. They believe absolute, unrelenting nonsense about the most important things in our country, like crime, like things that affect you personally. And this thread went viral recently, specifically this tweet in particular. This person, Cassie Pritchard, says, like on the left, we fundamentally don't care about quote-unquote crime. It's morally uninteresting to us. It's just a thing that happens in the world, like the weather. so we're willing to excuse mental people for theft, violence, etc. It just happens, you know? Crime just happens. Like, how could you possibly believe that? Crime can only exist with a criminal, with a person doing it, right? Tree falls on you, that's not a crime. There's no criminal committing it, right? It was an accident, it was something bad that happened to you. Yes, bad things happen, like the weather. You could get struck by lightning. That's not a crime, per se. But crime always includes a person making a decision to do something to harm another person or to break the law that harms society at large in a less tangible way. But no matter what, it is a person making a decision. These people don't seem to understand that. They think that human behavior can't be controlled, that humans don't have will. It's just a very weird, totally disconnected, actually, like, it's not even anti-human, it's like a-human, right? Like, it's a-historical, it's like against humanity, but not opposed to it, just outside of the realm of it. Crime is just a thing that happens in the world like the weather. This is a response from Kaiser von Lohengram. They say this: this is actually completely accurate to how leftists think. In breaking down the phenomenon of crime to a leftist mind, you have the criminal, the victim, and law enforcement. Crime is simply something that happens in regards to the victims of crime. You can't truly feel any kind of injustice occurred to a victim anymore than you can for a lightning strike or a random stroke during prime health. Crime simply happens to them. But the criminals, however, this is who your sympathy is held for. For anyone could end up a criminal or committing a crime. To them, crime is a force of nature that simply sweeps up and possesses somebody to do bad things. The true victim of that is the criminal, who was simply swept up in this force of nature we call crime and had no agency or choice or responsibility in the matter. And finally, we have law enforcement and those who seek to create safer societies. These, to them, are the true criminals. Crime is something that cannot be controlled. It's just a force that exists. And those who try to stop crime, to punish criminals, that is, are in fact choosing to harm the real victims, who are the criminals. And no amount of tough on crime or harsh sentencing or anything else can stop what is just a natural phenomenon from happening. All that does is cause harm to the most vulnerable. Remember the criminals. You can't break this delusion with any amount of facts, statistics, results on punishing crime, because this is religious dogma at the end of the day. The only way it can be broken is if a leftist themselves is the victim of a crime. That could awaken them to the fact that criminals have agency and could be stopped. But don't hold your breath, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.